Ukraine. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and Tuesday, day before Thursday, alohas to you. You are just in time as we begin the most heavily commuted, not to mention heavily congested hour of the Bobby Mac Show. 5 o'clock Follies is off and crawling. And thanks for the lift this afternoon. 7 minutes after five, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcome. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. And my email address is very simply bob@1063word.com. Special guest joining us this afternoon, he is Tom DelBeccaro. He is the former chairman of the California GOP. Tom, welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
All right. Great to be back on. Thanks for having me today.
My pleasure. Pun intended, Tom, it must take a stern constitution to try and be a Republican in California these days.
Well, you know, I've always looked at it as easier to tell the truth than not. My father helped start the Conservative Party of New York in the late 60s, and I'm used to just standing up to the fire. So California is in deep trouble, and I suggest that none of my listeners follow its example.
Yeah, no question.
None of your listeners.
And Governor Moonbeam is on his way out with some of his lunacy, only to be replaced by another loony leftist, because in California, of course, you have guerrilla or jungle elections where the top two vote getters move on to the finals, irregardless, as some would say, regardless of which party they represent, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Gavin Newsom is to the left of Jerry Brown.
Oh, great.
Gavin's running for governor. And in order to run for governor, he wants to institute socialized health care throughout the state, including those here illegally. And that's his bid to become the 2024 nominee for the Democrats. He actually doesn't want the Democrats to beat Trump. He wants to be the guy that says, I created a statewide health care program, Democrats, so you should like me. You already gave them gay marriage. But his play to be president will be to create a statewide health care system, and that's big trouble out here because obviously that's the state budget already is cut, getting close to $200 billion.
Right.
And the estimate last time around was that it would cost $400 billion to institute it.
Yeah,
so it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. That was going to be my next question. What was the price tag attached for health care for all, so-called, which eventually, of course, ends up being health care for none?
Exactly. So that's why, look, California leads the country in people leaving the state for other low-tax states. Now you can imagine why. They're going to push for big tax increases. California's going to be, you know, they say so goes the California, so goes the nation.
Right.
If this is the path, it's a bad example because businesses are leaving. They want to get rid of property tax protection out here. The next 2 years are going to be pretty fractious in California. And, of course, they're going to be fractious nationwide, as you saw today in the White House.
Yeah, well, being one of those who's always looking for opportunities to apply the entrepreneurial spirit, I guess if you were looking for a way to make some big money, you could open a North American or Mayflower Van Lines franchise in California and do pretty well.
But, you know, you bring that up. The cost to get a U-Haul from California to Texas is about five times as much as one from Texas to California.
Yeah.
So they're going that direction. They actually want you to take it back because they can't get enough of them out here.
Jeez. But, of course, once again, the left continues to ignore obvious facts. Tom, let me ask you, with what happened with the ballot harvesting that we experienced in the midterms, is California now out of the equation for 2020 as far as the next national election is concerned?
Well, the Republicans need to get understand two major things that are happening. Mm-hmm. One of them is this process. The ballot harvesting was actually legal. They passed a law in 2016.
Right.
They allowed strangers to knock on doors and say, here's your permanent absentee ballot application. I'll take it in if you fill it out. And then they allowed people to knock on the door once the absentee ballots had been mailed and said, hey, fill out your application. Now, look, I'll fill out your ballot and I'll take it in. Now,
right.
Look, it's very possible that they did voter fraud, filling out applications and things in connection with that. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the Democrats are beating the Republicans at the business of elections. And what I mean by that is Republicans tend to think, oh, the economy's good, mm-hmm. therefore we'll do okay.
Right.
Or we have a good idea, therefore we'll do okay. That is only half the story. If a good idea and a good product sold, then Beta would have beaten VHS. I know that's kind of old for your listeners.
And no, you're right, though. Yeah, it's a good example.
For people who don't know, Beta was a much better product, but VHS had a better marketing plan. The Democrats are using these methodologies. It occurs in New York as well,
mm-hmm.
and the Republicans are not caught up with it. The other thing is what I call the GoFundMe phenomenon in elections. Beto O'Rourke got most of his money from out of state.
Right.
Gillum in Florida, out
yep.
of state. Cinema, out of state. This process of here's the candidate we like, everybody go give him money. The Democrats have taken a huge leap forward on over Republicans on that issue. And if Republicans don't catch up on these things, you know, they're going to lose seats all over the country. And part of what I write about in my book, The Divided Era, which people can get at Amazon and good Christmas present, shameless plug, sorry, is that the difference between the red states and the blue states isn't just the people living there. It is the laws under which elections are done.
Right.
The red states tend to have voter ID. The blue states don't. The red states don't allow this ballot harvesting. The blue states are allowing it. So we're seeing this, and that's going to create an even deeper divide within this country.
So are you suggesting, Tom, that we have a level playing field and that the GOP adopt these tactics that the leftists in the Democrat Party are already employing? Is it compete on a level playing field or continue to see these kind of electoral results?
Well, if the Republicans don't catch up on the issue of fundraising, they're going to be in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Democrats have the three billionaires, Soros, Steyer, and Bloomberg.
Right.
They spent, just said Bloomberg spent $5 million in one House seat, just one House seat in California to defeat Steve Knight, and another $5 million for a different seat in California. We only have Sheldon Adelson on the right.
Right.
If Republicans don't find more patriots that are worth billions, they're going to be in trouble. So in that regard, they need to catch up. As far as the ballot harvesting, I don't find that to be a good practice.
Yeah.
I also don't honestly believe that we should be using electronic voting schemes.
Yep.
Because those machines can be easily hacked. Who manages those machines?
Right.
Public employee unions.
Yep.
So I'm not saying that the red state should do that, but if you're living in California or New York and you don't have an absentee ballot drill where you connect with everyone who has an absentee ballot who's a Republican and says, look, we need to get it in, then, you know, you're whistling past the graveyard.
Yeah, and the thing that is really concerning is with all of these methodologies that are being employed now, it really has a way of undermining the voters' confidence in the entire electoral process and at some point throwing up their hands in frustration and saying, well, why should I even vote on Election Day? Because these guys are going to cheat and win.
Yes, and this is why I refer to it as the business of voting in
right.
elections.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just you know, your founders would have said this is a civic duty, but that's not what it is to them. And one more thing that's really important for Republicans to understand about whether the economy was doing good and that should have carried them. There was a time when a Democrat, I'm sure you remember, said it's the economy, stupid, right?
Yes, right.
But times have changed. That was the start of what I call the divided era, was in 92 when Carville said that.
Mm-hmm.
Today, though, the economy, the Republicans are happy when the economy is doing well because they just want to be left alone by government and pursue their interests. The problem is today, unlike in 92, for the Democrats, the economy is government.
Yes.
That's where they get their public employee unions. That's where they get their pensions.
Right.
That's where they get their social justice. That's why they're invested in the Supreme Court. It isn't enough that the economy is doing well for them. Now, look, America abundance gives them the luxury of not caring about the basic necessities.
Mm-hmm.
But they care about government. And so for Republicans running for office to simply say the economy is good, therefore we'll win, is no longer the case.
Yeah.
Now we have to appeal with voters on the issues, not the solutions or the responses, but the issues that the Democrats push.
Right.
So like with health care, Republicans can't simply say the economy is doing good, you'll get your health care through your job. They have to make sure that they have streamlined regulations so that insurance opportunities flourish so people can get it. They have to get government out of the way so the actual solution. They can't just say the economy grew at 4.2%. That's good enough.
Yeah, and the part that frustrates me as well, Tom, is that the Democrats conduct their campaigning with brass knuckles, and Republicans seem to want to follow Marquis of Queensberry rules and treat it with kid gloves. I think that's got to change as well.
Yeah, no, the Republicans have to be so much more vigilant.
Yes.
Than they are now. Voter fraud is rampant. I mean, but the problem is that DAs don't want to go after people. They did in Texas. They gave that woman 8 years for her voting.
Right.
But in all the red states have red district attorneys or attorney generals. They can't get ahead by prosecuting voter fraud among Democrats, so they overlook it.
Yep.
And this is what I've said about this. You know what Project Veritas did with respect to Planned Parenthood in the videos, right?
Right, yes.
We are a visual being. Our eyesight is our strongest sense. He and I spoke with James about this.
Right.
The guy who's
James O'Keefe.
Ahead of it.
Right.
Yeah. And others. I said, if you want to, the media says there is no voter fraud. The Democrats say there is no voter fraud. To make it real, we're going to need a video of that.
Yeah.
And then people will see, or someone, an undercover thing that shows how rampant it is. Only then, when you can't deny, right, a picture's worth a thousand words, when you can't deny the video, will people take this seriously, because the media pushes it under the rug, and we can't just say, you know,
the economy's good.
Otherwise, on voter fraud, Republicans have to win by 5 in order to barely win at all.
True enough. I mean, when the other side is mailing out absentee ballots to everybody in the phone book and there's no chain of custody on those ballots, it presents a big
100%.
Challenge. Yeah. Tom Del Beccaro is a former chairman of the California GOP. I admire your stick-to-itiveness out there in California, Tom, and trying to turn that thing around, because it's like bailing out the Titanic with a teaspoon.
Well, they're pushing for it. I don't really like that analogy. I'm going to have to sleep on that one. They're going to push for a massive tax increase in the next election, and I'm going to be fighting that, because the country can't keep going in this direction. We have to turn it around. And as you say, the Democrat, this is real to the Democrats.
Yes, it is.
Business to them.
You bet.
And Republicans need to understand that.
Yeah, they are certainly all about growing government. Tom, thanks very much for your time today and your thoughts. Pleasure to have you here.
All right. Hope to be back soon.
You bet. Thanks, Garrett. Thanks. Appreciate it very much, Tom. Tom DelVicaro, he's the former chairman of the GOP in California, which at times I'm sure he feels like he's up on Custer Hill. 21 after 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more here on Tuesday. Welcome back. 5:26 here, the Bobby Mac Show, as the sun sinks slowly over the western horizon. What time, again, does the sun go down today, Moneypenny?
2:03.
Gotcha. Thank you. Just seems that way. At least we got to see some blue sky for today. I'll take what little I could get. Moneypenny informs me the radio station in Cleveland that kicked off the whole business of banning Baby It's Cold Outside as a byproduct of the hashtag MeToo movement has now been inundated with complaints. Not that they were playing the song in the first place, but that they pulled it from their Christmas music rotation. And so now, chalk up one for the good guys. We understand they have restored it to their playlist. There is, in the meantime, a parody that has been making the rounds. Fox News' Kristen Goodwin has the details on this.
The internet-famous Holderness family getting in on the Baby It's Cold Outside controversy, creating a parody of the holiday classic called Baby Just Go Outside, emphasizing consent.
I really can't stay.
Okay, you're free to go.
I've got to go away.
Understood, no means no.
This evening has been
super appropriate.
So the tongue-in-cheek version poking fun of outrage over the original song, with critics calling its lyrics sexist or claiming it promotes date rape. The remix pulling in over 32 million views in less than a day.
Wow.
Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Yeah, I think the Bobby Mac semi-professional players were working on one like that as well. Haven't heard the latest. Speaking of the internet, we were talking yesterday about this guy who's the CEO of Google. He was testifying on the Hill today. We'll give you some of the details of what burning issues he managed to kind of pull a James Comey and dodge answering directly. But I saw this story today, too. It's an ugly truth of the modern world. Your online activity is central to the advertising businesses of Facebook and Google. But it isn't just your browsing data that is being fed to digital ad networks for profit. It's also where you set foot. There's a big investigative piece in the New York Times into the location tracking services employed by 20 different widely used apps that paint a picture of granular surveillance in the name of ad revenue. Though companies pepper their location tracking capabilities with disclaimers saying the apps only track you when they're active, the Times investigation found a much more alarming reality. They discovered that 75 companies receive startlingly precise location data down to details like street names. The extent of the so-called anonymous tracking is often concealed by unclear language or is buried in the fine print of a Byzantine terms and conditions page. Anybody ever tried to read all those things? Good luck. The monitoring is so exact, the report claims, that the data could easily reveal your home address with the help of public records, and it's also widespread. A few of the companies reviewed claim to track upwards of 200 million mobile devices in the U.S. a year. The data is often extracted 14,000 times per day. Apps like WeatherBug, GasBuddy, and the Weather Channel app are tied up in the practice of selling location data to advertisers. There is a plethora of others, too, such as The Score, DC Metro and Bus, the London Underground's Tube Map, and Masha and the Bear, an app for children's games. What's the answer? Ever hear of a Faraday bag? Yeah. Again, you can Google it, look it up on the web. Of course, they'll track you while you do. Faraday, F-A-R-R-A-D-A-Y, Faraday bag. You pop your cell phone in there, and you are protected from their tracking. 5:31 here on the Bobby Mac Show. We track into the newsroom next, where Annie's standing by, and I'm right back on the other side. A little seasonal sound in the background. A little joy to the world. 5:39, it is 21 before 6 here in the Bobby Mac Show. Nice little sunset working off to the western horizon. As we go to the phones and we welcome into the program, I've described him in the past. I guess I should describe him as the official, unofficial Southeast Asian military historian of the Bobby Mac Show. Colonel Ted is who I'm talking about. And as usual, Colonel Ted, Miss Money, Penny, and I salute you.
Well, thank you much. Good to be back. I suppose it's good to be anywhere on a day like this.
You bet. It's always good to be on the correct side of the divot.
Yeah, although I tend to wonder why I really would want to live this long. I don't know about you, but the list of things that justify being 74 is real short.
Yep. Colonel Ted sent me an email earlier in the day today. It said, Bob, today, December 11th, 2018, a date which will live in infamy, happens to be my 74th birthday. So happy birthday as well, Colonel Ted.
I normally don't want people to remember them, and actually both my sons never do. I haven't heard from either of them today, so I don't think they remembered as usual, but that's kind of typical. But, I'm kind of getting close to 75 kind of stands out as something maybe worth sticking around for.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, but it strikes me as sort of a milestone.
Yeah, well, like 50, it's one of those road marks along the highway.
Yeah, well, I've tried real hard not to get this old. But, people talk about our medical system, healthcare system, being poor. I'm a victim of the fact that it's so good. They keep reviving me, and I just soon tell them if I was conscious, I'd say, leave me alone, let me go to heaven.
Yeah, and all of this, Colonel Ted, despite the best efforts of the VC and the NVA to preclude you reaching this point in life.
Well, they tried a couple of times. Fortunately, they were forced. Poor shots.
Yes.
They'd set up 122 rockets on sticks, and their accuracy, although, I mean, randomly, guys got killed that way. They just never got close enough to me, obviously, to make it happen to me.
Well, you know that that old saying about stop clock being right twice a day, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we had an occasion at Bungtao where I was on one of our C-7s. I forget where I was going, but we had a rocket attack right then, and the guys lined up to get on board started scattering, and then the guys gunned the engines. I couldn't figure out what was going on until it was over in a second, but something like 8 or 9 rockets, they fired at us. 3 hit the base of the Navy lieutenant commander, and his Vietnamese girlfriend happened to catch one of them.
Ooh.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I've often wondered how that was reported back to his family.
Somebody had a very delicate letter to write.
I think so. I think some of the details were not conveyed to the family about that situation.
When you reach this point, Colonel Ted, and I'm right behind you because I'm 72.
Yeah, you're just a kid.
Yeah, right, just a baby. you mentioned in your email you are in the process of moving to a new secret, undisclosed location, and as a result, you packed up a bunch of stuff to take, including your Vietnam photo album, huh?
Yeah. When I travel, I carry it with me, and I found it's a fun thing to share with the people. You know, I'll run into McDonald's, see a Vietnam veteran with a cap on, and find out I've got pictures of where that person, Army and Marines, happened to be, but couldn't take the camera with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to, having the cush tour I had.
Right.
But, it's And I'll be traveling tomorrow and have it on the front seat.
Well, so and you know,
have an opportunity to share.
It's valuable to have also, it occurs to me, Colonel Ted, because you can talk to younger people about America's involvement in Southeast Asia, because to Gen X or to the millennials, the Vietnam War is as far away as the American Revolution.
Oh, I know. It reminds me when I was a kid that, you know, World War II seemed like ancient history.
Yeah.
Now I've got young kids coming up to me and saying their grandfather was in Vietnam.
Right. Yeah. Kind of puts you in touch with your own mortality, does it not?
Yeah. Immediately.
So you're going to Myrtle Beach and you're going to see our buddy Dave Schwartz down there, huh?
Well, I'm planning to. I haven't heard back from him whether I can take somebody along for company or ride with somebody so I don't have to drive over by myself. I thought that'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, there is a citizens' town hall that Freedom Action Network of South Carolina is putting together for tomorrow. And Dave, I'm sure, is going to be talking with me about that on the show tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday. Okay, yeah. I thought I might put in my 2 cents if I get the opportunity over there. I've got some thoughts on how we're ever going to get South Carolina government uncorrupt.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, at least Colonel Ted, you will not be traveling by caribou this time.
Yeah. Well, nobody is anymore, I think. I think those are pretty well in the boneyard.
Yeah, I think they are all our granddad.
They used to come up at Fort Bragg for jump training, and now they use other more modern aircraft. And we've got caribous all around as static displays, a lot of bases and stuff. But
right. Yeah, and it's too bad because
– old bird.
Yeah, it's too bad. It was a good bird.
Oh, absolutely. For what it did, there wasn't anything better.
Yep. Well, Colonel Ted, we wish you a happy birthday and appreciate your taking time to join us today. And safe travels to you, okay?
Thank you. Talk to you later.
You bet. Colonel Ted joining us this afternoon. The Caribou was an aircraft that flew spec ops people into many places we never actually were in Southeast Asia. 6:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
Work.
That's it. That's what we do every weekday from 3 to 7. We slave away over a hot microphone and computer terminal. Yours truly, Bobby Mack, along with, of course, Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, pushing the buttons, and, of course, keeping everything running smoothly, and little Annie back in the news center. 6:09 here on the Bobby Mack Show. One of our Wazers giving us this heads up. Bob, 85 South in Spartanburg is blocked at all the on-ramps from 110 to 221. Whew, boy, what a mess. Bobby Mack, tell Colonel Ted happy birthday from Benjamin and Jeffrey Williams. And we also salute you. Gotcha. Bob, that accident at 80 and 101 in Spartanburg County completely blocked, multiple injuries, fire trucks and ambulance and police everywhere. The intersection is impassable. Gotcha. Bobby, what's your email? That's very simply bob@1063word.com. Bobby, I don't care for gay music or actions. I avoid places or change the station if I'm offended and move on, minding my own business. If anyone is offended by Christmas music of any kind, popular for the season, then move on, because I have the right to hear what I want to hear without moronic views of everything any idiot wants to find wrong with it. Grow up and move out of your parents' basement. Gotcha. Bobby, although I can't stand that libtard, Steve Cohen from Tennessee, he's a congressman from Memphis, and he is a real world-class twit. I thought I was going to fall out of my chair when he asked the Google CEO, why is it when I call for technical support on Google, I can't understand what they're saying? Apparently, Steve Cohen is limited when it comes to speaking Hindustani, would be my guess. Bobby, the problem with a Faraday bag is that every time you take it out to use it, you'll be tracked. Well, of course you will. But then put it back in the bag and they don't know where you're going or where you are when you get there. Bob's simple solution to not being tracked, and I wish it was that simple, keep your location turned off. It is rare that I use location. What makes you think that even location is turned off, that they don't know your location? Bob, the GOP has bigger problems than fundraising. They need to get the Bush family monkey off their back. All the angst in the Republican Party is the cause of the Never Trump movement. Until they remove their stigmas against conservatives, they are never going to be a powerful party again, and they may as well go ahead and close the doors now. Bobby, tell your guest, former head of the GOP in California, to fix California, because those that move out bring their idiot ideas with them. Well, not all of them. Many of them are trying to escape the lunacy of the left in California. Bob, I fear California is the next France. Guess what? I think they're already there. The only thing missing is their parlez-vous français. Bobby, can't something be done about all these hit and runs? Yeah, President Trump is trying to do it, keeping the illegals out. And I think, not quite, I'm almost caught up on the text line. Hey, Bob, I also would like to wish Colonel Ted a very happy birthday. So sorry he hasn't heard from his boys yet today. I'm sure he will. Hey, Bobby Mac, what's the deal with the same ad over and over? Are we in a time loop? Laugh out loud. Love you and your show. I'm not sure what you're talking about. You know what that's about, Moneypenny? Mm-hmm. No, I don't either. Sorry about that. We are almost out of time for the 5 o'clock follies for today. We are going to spend some more time in the bonus hour today, in addition to having a pretty good edition of Boneheads in the News lined up for you. And there is never a dearth of candidates for that particular segment of the show. We're also going to talk more about the Google CEO. He testified before the House Judiciary Committee today. And his testimony kind of resembled James Comey's in that he was not as forthcoming as he might have been when it comes to issues such as data security and political bias. So we'll hear some of that. And also some of the brouhaha between President Trump, Chuck Hugh Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi on the Hill today. Here's a brief preview.
Some of the reporters saying, Fox reporters saying, why did we not want transparency in this discussion? We didn't want to contradict the president when he was putting forth figures that had no reality to them, no basis in fact.
Yeah, he's just making them up because he likes Nancy. This is going to be rich for the next couple of years. See you back with the bonus hour on the way next.